Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial cost. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM P.O. Box 152-388 San Diego, California 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson on developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're focusing right now on the Beatitudes, and today we're going to be talking about storing up yourselves treasures in heaven from Matthew chapter 6. Father, we just invite your holy presence, Lord, that you would guide us as we study your word, as your servant speaks, that, Lord, that my words would be pure, that they would be in alignment with your word, and that, Lord, your people would be strengthened and edified and built up as we study together your word. Thank you, Father, that today has been a day of the gathering of the church throughout the world and here in San Diego, that many congregations gathered today to worship you. Father, we ask you to bring us back into an alignment with one another and in alignment with heaven so that, Lord, we might be that one church that you've ordained in the earth to affect the global outreach of the church. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Now help us today as we study your word and put our focus on this area of Matthew 6, 19 through 21 about our treasures. And so, Father, thank you. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and guide everything we do and say today in Jesus' name. Now let's read from Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Oh, wow, what a tremendous instruction Jesus is giving us here. The Holy Spirit has come to connect us to heaven. Most of the time, the human goal is survival, to hopefully achieve amassing as much money as possible for security in this life. Multitudes around the world are oppressed and not able to realize the human desire. On the other hand, there are those in this life that have amassed great fortune and have no issues with security as relates to substance. The Holy Spirit wants us to help turn our attention toward a greater treasure than the wealth of this world. Whether one is poor or wealthy, the true treasure is in the storehouse of heaven. The fundamental issue is choosing from where one derives their security. The development of the relationship with the Holy Spirit causes us to grow in our confidence in God's word and his promises. I am grateful for how my Heavenly Father has blessed me. I realize, though, that in the same way my possessions have come, they can also disappear. It is an absolute of God's word that temporal things will vanish. The scripture declares, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire. 2 Peter 3:7. One of the great treasures in life is found in relationship with family and friends. Many have acquaintances, but fewer people have real friendships. Listen, lasting friendships, relationships comes from the work of the Holy Spirit, who restores us to the Godhead through the redemptive work of Christ Jesus. The Christ is the pearl of great price, spoken of in Matthew 13:46. He is the true treasure. Let us seek the Lord for his grace to let go of anything that we might be holding on to as wealth other than the Lord. It is fine to have possessions. In fact, the Word of God actually encourages, promises material blessings in this life. It is not okay for those possessions to possess us in any way that ruins or runs interference with our relationship with the true treasure, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is present to help us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. So let's just ask the Holy Spirit to give grace to store up treasures in heaven and to be freed from the bondage of the possessions of this life. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Matthew 6:21 tells us. Father, I ask you to give me a heart after your will and a right viewpoint about possessions. I ask for the listening audience to also help them. If there's any that are listening to the sound of your servant's voice, that they'll adjust any misunderstandings or misfocus of the things of earth. Lord, help us to be people that find our treasures in heaven and be freed from the bondage of the possessions of this life. Lord, because of what your word says, we just repeated or just stated, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Father, search my heart today, and so that my treasure might be in those things that are connected to the things of the Spirit and the purpose of God in the earth. I give you praise and glory as you help my friends in the listening audience in the same regard as I know that you help me in this area, in Jesus' name. And then he goes on to talk about light enters into the body through the eyes. Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. According to a well-known saying, the eye is the window of the soul. When I speak with a person, I look them in the eyes. By doing this, it seems I make a better connection with them. As I listen to what they are saying, I am better able to respond when I communicate back with them. If the issues of honesty are involved, by looking a person in the eyes, you have a better chance of discerning truth and untruth. In the counseling ministry, eye-to-eye contact is vital to imparting truths that can help set people free. In the deliverance ministry, eye-to-eye contact is vital to casting out demonic entities. The physical eye, of course, is connected to the brain and affects the emotions and the will. Jesus goes on to say, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Matthew 6:23, part A. How can the eye be bad in the moral sense? When you put together the mind and emotions and will, you essentially have what the Bible speaks of as the heart, the innermost region of a person. The physical eye is controlled by what is found in the heart. When the heart chooses to take in darkness, it causes the eye to become bad. When the heart is pure, it chooses to take in light and rejects darkness. Jesus goes on to say that, if then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Matthew 6:23b. What is Jesus actually saying? The Bible declares that some will call good evil and evil good. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Isaiah 5:20 speaks of this. There are those who know what is right and what is true, but still promote darkness in what they say. Many religious leaders in Jesus' day knew what the scriptures taught, but still added to the scriptures and put heavy burdens on the people. It is in the mixture of religion that light becomes the greater darkness. Day by day, surrender your eyes to the Lord. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Job 31:1. Ask the Holy Spirit to protect your eyes and thus your soul from darkness and to fill you with light. Oh God, how we need your help in this area, Father. Would you do that, Holy Spirit, for the listeners to my voice here today? Fill us, O God, with light and keep us from the darkness. Lord, protect our eyes. Help us to protect our eyes Lord, that our soul will be kept from darkness and be filled with light. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name for those that are listening to the sound of my voice here today. Lord, we live in a day where there are so many things out there that distract us and draw our attention, that minister to the flesh, the soulless realm, and not to the spiritual dimensions. God, forgive us for all that we take in on social media and all the other means by which the eyes are affected by the darkness that is communicated. And even though there's light on the screen, there's darkness behind many of the things that are pictured on the screen. Forgive us, O God. Forgive your church. Help us, Lord, to be a people that turn our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ and keep our eyes focused on him, and that we might be filled with light and, Lord, be able to deal with the darkness and command it to be gone from people's lives, Lord, when we have a chance to minister. In Jesus' name, we thank you. What a tremendous teaching this is, beloved. So fasting is good. Oh, let me get back to where we are here. We're talking about light enters into the body through your eyes. Amen. Let's move on to the next area here in Matthew 6:24. Choose whom you will serve, God or wealth. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, is the way the Bible puts it. It's talking about wealth. A two-headed creature is always a freak. Jesus is not saying that you cannot be rich and serve God. He is saying you cannot serve both God and wealth. It is one thing to have possessions and use them for God's glory, and quite another to. Give me just a moment here. It's one thing to have possessions and use them for God's glory, and quite another to allow possessions to have you. Hold loosely to all you own. It is easy to become emotionally tied to one's possessions, such as a house, a car, toys, etc. A worthwhile evaluation is to determine what is it that you serve. I serve my family, many in the family of God, and friends. But none are my masters. Only God is that. I enjoy my hobby, my house, and the car I drive. But none of those things control me. I am not saying that it would be easy, but if required, they all must go in order to serve the Lord's larger purpose. In Luke 6:46, Jesus asked this question of his disciples. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? An employer has a right to expect certain actions from an employee in order to accomplish the task. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ also has certain expectations of our lives. If you call him Lord and sing about his lordship, worship him as well as the all-worthy one, he can expect us to do all that he has commanded. Serving another is a choice of our will. Each day we are presented with opportunity of choosing who and what we will serve. Jesus has given the opportunity to choose also in Matthew chapter 4. We find the story recorded of Jesus being led into temptation. The devil, the evil one, gave him opportunity to choose. What had been given to Satan's control, Jesus knew by the word of God that all things had been promised to him in due time. He chose to resist the offer of the enemy for immediate gratification, and rather choose to wait for his heavenly Father to give all things to him. You know, he chose to wait to go to the cross. He knew that it was going to be the cross that would make the difference, and the power of the resurrection of new life that would come because of the cross. And so Jesus knew all those things when he was tempted of the enemy in the garden and chose the cross rather than immediate gratification. Wow. And that's what a model and example for each of us, beloved. Today, would you choose to surrender all things to the control of Jesus? Would you wait on God for his timing rather than taking things into your own hands? Let him be the master by serving his timing and his provisions for his glory. Holy Spirit, I give you the reins of my life. Take perfect control of all things that affect me, Father, in Jesus' name. And then in Matthew 6:25, Jesus says, "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life." The cure for anxiety, let's look at what that talks about. That's found in the Holy Spirit. That's found in this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Listen to Jesus. The instructions of Jesus from verse 25 to 32 are to help focus believers on the relationship with our Heavenly Father. They help the believers to be assured that God cares more for them than all his creation for which he provides. In verse 30, Jesus clarifies that our trust of God is a faith issue. All worry is associated with a lack of faith. The Holy Spirit was given to us in the faith of Jesus. If anyone had a right or opportunity to be worried, it was Paul. "Three times I was beaten with rods," Paul said. "Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I have spent in the deep." 2 Corinthians 11:25. Paul the Apostle proclaims to the Galatians his own declaration of faith and rest in the work of Christ. Galatians 2:20. What a tremendous promise and what a tremendous testimony this is from the Apostle Paul. Paul identified his resting place as being crucified with Christ. He says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:20. Paul knew that it meant to, what it meant to die to his self-life and to live unto Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul was not anxious about anything. He learned to be content in all things, according to Philippians 4:11. Whatever his state, he learned contentment. Paul came to know Jesus as his Sabbath rest. In other words, he knew Jesus as his resting place. Worry and anxiety bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit baptized us into Christ and into his body. He buried us with Jesus in baptism. He raised us up and has seated us in the heavenly places with Christ. Why worry? Why be anxious? Our Father knows what we need. Today, make a fresh commitment to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not to lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5-6. One of the first scriptures I memorized. And boy, that has carried me through my life. I tell you, beloved, memorize Proverbs 3, 5-6. I really encourage you to do that. And so now let's talk a little bit more about being seeker of the kingdom and his righteousness before all else. Matthew 6:33, another scripture that needs to be memorized. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you." The focus of the New Testament is the kingdom of God and its accompanying righteousness. John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Matthew 3:2. This also was the opening proclamation of Jesus' ministry, as rooted in Matthew 4:7. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, he teaches of the coming Holy Spirit. Now, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 7, 37 through 40. You see, Jesus had to go to the cross, had to be raised up and seated at the right hand of the Father and be glorified in that. And then he received from the Father the Holy Spirit. And Jesus then poured the Spirit out by the permission of the Father on all of his those waiting in the upper room. And from that moment on, everybody coming to Jesus can receive that living water, be filled again and again with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time experience. There is maybe a first time of entering in, but then you can be filled with the Spirit again and again. Many times during the day, you can ask God for the Spirit to come and fill you up afresh and anew. And so what we see here is that the focus of the New Testament is the kingdom of God and its accompanying righteousness. John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," Matthew 3:2. This also was the opening proclamation of Jesus' ministry, as recorded in Matthew 4:7. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, he teaches of the coming Holy Spirit. Now, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were to receive. But the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 7:37-40. I just thought that was worth reading again. In John 14-16, the focus of Jesus' conversation with his disciples was about the Holy Spirit and his coming work. Paul declares that the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. He also emphasizes that righteousness, peace, and joy is the product of the kingdom's manifestation. Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing we're to do, is to seek first his kingdom. And his kingdom and his righteousness are our first priority. And in John 7, he says, "If any thirst, seek God, for his will and purpose is an evidence of thirst." Thirst is a physical symptom that manifests when one begins to feel dehydrated. The nation of Israel was spiritually dehydrated when Jesus arrived. The Gentiles had no place to drink, being separated from God and his covenants and the promises. Jesus brought to the earth spiritual bread and spiritual drink. He prophesied of the coming Holy Spirit in John 7:37, declaring that he would bring the river of living water, which would flow out of the inner being of those who believe. Do not look for a river to come from the outside, but understand that the Holy Spirit comes into the believer and will release a river from within. It will be a river of righteousness, peace, and joy, which will satisfy the thirsty soul. Drink deeply of the river today. Amen. What a tremendous thing the Lord has given to us in this. Father, we desire the river. We desire the springs of living water that come from the Holy Spirit. So I pray for everybody listening to the sound of my voice today, that, Lord, you would pour out your Holy Spirit in their lives. Lord, as they seek you in the secret place, that they'd be filled with the Spirit, and in that filling of the Holy Spirit, that they would have living water that would flow out of them, and it would be evidenced by righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. Lord, I pray that for every listener today of this broadcast. Lord, I ask you to come and fill them today. Right now, beloved, just take a moment and close your eyes, and maybe if you're able, just put your hands out. If you're at home, you're not driving, put your hands out and just say, "Lord, I open my life to be filled again with the Holy Spirit." Or if you've never been filled with the Spirit, ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit, that out of your belly would flow rivers of living water, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit might be evidenced in your life in every circumstance, every situation. If you just do that right now, I just believe for the Spirit of God to touch you in a strong way. And if you keep just trusting God throughout the week and take times and just stop and wait on him, say, "Father, again, fill me with the Spirit. I need to be filled." It's so radical because, you see, we're leaky vessels. So many things that come against us and we kind of leak. We need to be filled with the water of God, the living waters, on a daily basis. And so you can pray that every day and throughout the day. You can pray that numerous times in the day. And so thank you for tuning in again tonight and listening. And I pray that you just join us each week here at 6:30. But also, you can go to our website, www.sdccm.org. And there on the website, go to the top where it says resources. And under resources, you can go to podcast. And you can re-listen to the podcast, or you can listen to the previous podcast. They're all right there. And just follow the date. Go to 2026 and open it up, and you'll see there a selection of broadcasts. And the last one will be this broadcast, or the one that you just listened to. And you can do that anytime you want. You can also go to the bottom of the first page of the website, the homepage, and find the books that we have available. And there, the order form is there, and order the book, my new book, One New Man, One Holy Spirit. We haven't got it up on the website yet, but you can fill it out on the form, One New Man, One Holy Spirit, and they're going for $17. And so if you can just send 17 and 7 for the shipping and the handling and putting everything together to get it to you, that would be certainly awesome. And the monies go to help pay for the book, but also to help support the broadcast. And so thank you for being partners with us, and I hope you do that. And I hope the books just bless you. And there you'll also see developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit that we're drawing from. You can order that book. It's a daily devotional. All right? God bless you. Walk with the King, and be a blessing to others this week.